Hey, Jared, can you hear us?
I can.
Jared!
Welcome back, my friend.
Woo! So nice to hear your voices.
It's nice to hear your voice.
Well, I'm not worm food. That's the headline.
And a happy headline it is.
Yes, it is.
Jared Bernstein is an economist. We've had him on the show many, many times before. He works at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, and he was an economic advisor to President Obama.
And recently, Jared had a pretty major health event, an event that plunged him right into the heart of the American healthcare system. Now, this was a system Jared had thought about a lot. He'd helped advise the White House on it, but he had never really been inside of it like this. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Cardiff Garcia. Today on the show, a conversation with Jared Bernstein. We talked to him about some of the insights he gained into the American healthcare system from his recent experience.
And insights he gained into some other things, too.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Wix.com. With Wix, you can build your own robust website and web applications. Set up your own databases with serverless, hassle-free coding. Go to Wix.com. That's Wix.com/indicator to get 10% off. Support also comes from American Express. You want to build your business. They can help build your business with financing solutions for eligible business customers. The powerful backing of American Express. Don't do business without it. Terms apply. Visit americanexpress.com/business.
Jared, we're here to talk about healthcare, and this all started because you had your own experience with the healthcare system. Tell us a little bit about how that started.
It started on a Saturday morning, March 23rd, actually just about 2 months ago, when I was sitting at my computer around 10:30 in the morning, just minding my own business, when all of a sudden I had a badass brain hemorrhage. I don't know how else to put it. And in the course of about 60 seconds, I went from feeling fine to having, just imagine the worst headache you've ever had and multiply it by a million. And I was on the floor. I was in terrible shape. Thankfully, my wife was home, and she rushed me to the emergency room. I had what's called a subarachnoid hemorrhage, which is a brain bleed, basically. And one-third of the people who fall victim to this die. Another third either don't get out of the hospital or come out with a pretty severe disability. And then there's the top third. I sound like I'm describing the income distribution. Then there's the top third, where luckily I was.
So you got to the hospital, and what happened there?
As an economist who thinks a lot about healthcare, it is 18% of our economy. I complain about a lot of aspects of our healthcare system, particularly access and inefficiencies. The high end of our healthcare system can be, you know, really pretty amazing. And I think one example of that is very soon after I got into the emergency room, as far as I can tell, as you can imagine, things are all fuzzy, they had a tiny little camera up in my brain, which they weaved through my groin and through my artery up into my brain. Yeah. And they were looking for an aneurysm, meaning a burst vein or artery up there. And, you know, that became a very critical part of the diagnosis. So that's a kind of sort of high-end technology that, you know, saves people's lives if you have great coverage and live in a place where that sort of treatment is accessible.
Was that something that, like, occurred to you while you were there?
Any policy insights came later because I was kind of focusing on trying to survive. Well, I did have one that I kind of just grew as I was there, and I thought it was kind of germane. This sort of goes back to when I was an economist for the Obama administration during the Great Recession. One thing I noticed every month is that while employment was really tanking, I mean, we were losing hundreds of thousands of jobs per month, there was one sector that just kept on ticking, and that was the healthcare sector. Now, part of that is because healthcare is an inelastically demanded good, which means even in lousy times, if you have a brain hemorrhage, you know, you need help.
Jared, I have a question about healthcare costs, because that is something that has been the subject of a lot of debate and consternation for, you know, policy wonks, but also just for normal folks who have to pick up big healthcare costs. You were insured, but I was wondering if at any point in time, especially when you realized, hey, I think I'm going to make it, you wondered, oh, my God, though, this is going to cost a small fortune. Now what?
Absolutely. No question. And after I started, after my brain sort of came back online, those are precisely the kinds of things I was thinking about. For example, I'm engaged in a situation which is really classic. The insurer wants to charge me for a piece of equipment that a doctor prescribed on like day one of my treatment.
What was the machine? What did it do?
It massaged veins and arteries and parts of my body to even out blood flow. This was for my calves, my part of my leg. And so I guess they were saying, hey, dude, the problem was like up north. What do you need something for down at your legs?
How much would it have been if they didn't cover it?
$3,000.
Wow.
So real money.
That is real money.
Yeah. And the insurers is telling me, well, we don't think you really needed that. So that means that when I was in the midst of a hemorrhagic stroke that's fatal for a lot of people, I was supposed to get on the phone and ask the insurer if they would cover something the doctor told me I needed. That's what makes a lot of people really legitimately pissed off about our healthcare system. I mean, the fact that I had great coverage meant that me or my family didn't have to worry about being bankrupted by this. I mean, yes, we're going to fight with the insurers over some significant bills, but at the end of the day, my family will face a tiny fraction of the overall cost of this. And there are still 9-10% of people in this country who have no health coverage, and there's a lot of people who have inadequate coverage. And in fact, one of the aspects of healthcare reform that has me increasingly nervous, given my experience, is the spread of these sort of fake plans, very high deductibles, plans that don't really cover the kinds of incidents that I have, so that you might think you have coverage, but something terrible happens to you, and it turns out, you know, you're going to be essentially bankrupted by it.
Jared, was there anything that really surprised you about your experience, given that I'm assuming this was your first sort of life-threatening incident?
I'm going to say two things, and neither have anything to do with economics, I don't think. The first is that on day two, when I was just kind of coming back to some level of consciousness, I sort of squeezed one eye open, and standing next to me at my bedside in the intensive care unit were my three daughters. Having them there, I felt like I was just levitating off the bed. I was so uplifted. And I just kind of somehow convinced myself in that 5-minute discussion with them that I was going to be okay.
Oh, that's really lovely. It's better than economics. And I think very highly of economics.
Thank you. And I think the second thing, which is also, again, you know, much more, probably more heart than head, there's this little section in The Brothers Karamazov by Dostoevsky where he tells the story, and this actually happened to Dostoevsky himself, of a prisoner who is going to be executed in a firing line. And he's in line waiting for his turn to come, and somebody rides up on a horse and says, "You're pardoned." So then Dostoevsky explores with this character in the book, well, then did you change your life so that you'd live completely different, valuing every second? And the guy basically says, "Yeah, I did for like a month or two, and I kind of fell back into my old self." So I've kind of avoided trying to say I'm going to now live every second to the fullest. But that said, the notion of having a big old fight about 25 basis points on the interest rate just seems really kind of not worth it. So I feel like I'm just not as incensed or excited by some of the small stuff that used to get under my skin and thinking a little bit more big picture.
Does it change the way that you see the healthcare sector? I feel like that's such a weird question up such a beautiful insight with, but I am curious.
It definitely changes the way I view the sector. So, for example, I think the biggest challenge with healthcare reform is not that Americans overutilize healthcare. That's kind of a myth. It's that the price system is just so overinflated. Things that just cost a ton here cost much less in other places. And so in the hospital, I was talking to a doctor who I thought was instrumental in saving my life. And I was thinking, this guy must make a tremendous salary. And, you know, he doesn't know that in the back of my head, I'm contemplating a healthcare reform that would probably end up with a lower paycheck for him.
Maybe you don't mention that. You know.
I kept that to myself, but it was an interesting thought.
Well, Jared, it is so nice to have you on the show.
Thanks so much. I look forward to coming back and talking about 25 basis points on the Fed, durable goods, and not hemorrhagic strokes. But, you know, it's all part of my life.
All right, Jared. Thanks so much, man.
Okay, guys.
Thank you,
thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
The Indicator is a production of NPR.